All right, everyone. No intro because it's one of those episodes. I am sorry. I'm going to keep this short. I'm going to try to keep it under 30 minutes. Let's see how I do. I had a feeling, and I said a couple episodes ago that whenever something gets mass produced by the media, I feel like they're trying to hide a story. They're trying to bury a story. And maybe you guys are more diligent than I am. If you are, kudos. But it's not something that I wanted to be right about. On September 19th this year, about a month ago, Azerbaijan launched a large-scale military offensive against the autonomous ethnic Armenian enclave of Nagorno-Karabakh. Nagorno hyphen Karabakh, known in Armenia as Artsakh. They already have two names for it. That's never a good sign. It's disputed territory, and already 50,000 Armenians have been displaced. Now, let's go into where is Armenia? The Republic of Armenia is a landlocked country in the Armenian highlands of West Asia. They are within the Caucasus region, you know, where Caucasian the word comes from, white people. That's pretty much it. Let's see. It is democratic nation state. It has Russian influence. Russia told them, "We will protect you from the Muslims who tried to invade." They had a lot of wars between the Ottoman Empire, also now known as Turkey. Turkey tried to ethnic cleanse them quite a while ago, I think 108 years ago. Let's see here. And let's just quick look at culture. They are primarily Christian, so it is the ethnic cleansing of Armenian Christians. It's, yeah. All right, so the Armenian genocide, this was, like I said, 108 years ago, was widespread emigration that led to the settlement of Armenians in various countries in the world. Armenians kept to their traditions and certain diasporans, that's a sect of Armenia, rose to fame with their music. Post-genocide Armenian community, in the post-genocide Armenian community of the United States, the so-called Kef style Armenian dance music using Armenian and Middle Eastern folk instruments. Like, it's, I've listened to this before. It's really enjoyable. They're talented people. Talented, continuously persecuted people. Okay. And now let's discuss Azerbaijan. Let me put that in there. Transcontinental country located on the boundary of Eastern Europe and West Asia. They share a border with Armenia, or what's left of Armenia. And let's go into what happens. I got this from the Fresno Bee. It's amazing. The main news media, both foreign and domestic, have not commented on this. The United Nations, excuse me, have not determined which side they're on. It was very easy for them to say they side with Israel because of, I guess, all the hype Israel was getting and all of the backlash. But Armenia had their own ethnic cleansing Holocaust, so to speak. So let's just read this article. Imagine waiting for your children to arrive home from school just as they did every day. Imagine you're going about your day like it was no different than any other. Then imagine hearing bombs overhead, seeing buildings being destroyed in your neighborhood. Left with no choice, imagine fleeing from your home, leaving everything behind. No, I'm not talking about Ukraine, Israel, or Gaza. Talking about the ethnic cleansing campaign ordered by Azerbaijani oil-rich dictator Ilham Aliyev. Ilham Aliyev. Against the indigenous Armenians of Nagorno-Karabakh. Oh, they also put hyphen Artsakh. Artsakh. You probably didn't see much about this topic on the news channel. You probably also didn't hear that there was a blockade by Aliyev's regime of the only road leading to this territory, causing a medieval style humanitarian crisis, which includes hunger, malnutrition, even starvation of an innocent group of people. Using weapons purchased from Turkey, Pakistan, and Israel, Azeri dictator Ilham Aliyev, this is funny, who once won his election before Azerbaijanis even voted. The source is from Washington Post. Quote is, Azerbaijan's election authorities released vote results a full day before voting had started. I mean, dictatorship 101. You don't want to hear what the fuck people have to say. All right, so the dictator pounded the self-autonomous region of Nagorno-Karabakh, Artsakh, where Armenians have been living for over 2,000 years. Several ancient Armenian churches tell a story of a civilization that had deep roots in the area. They have since been flattened, not all of them, but many are now reduced to rubble. The Azerbaijani regime had already called for the repurposing of several of those churches and the destruction of others. Yet, they want to wipe them off the face of the earth. Within a span of less than a week, 100,000 to 120,000 ethnic Armenians left their homes and fled to Armenia. So they left that shared area that historically belongs to them. And they left through the city, through the Armenian city of Goris, Goris, a town of approximately 20,000. The largest number suggests that 30,000 of those who fled were children. Let's see, refugees have been driving for days to get to Goris, a ride that usually took a few hours. People arrive scared, exhausted, malnourished, psychologically crushed. Many of those arriving were women and children and the elderly, as the men stayed back to help refugees evacuate. Now, I ran over it quickly, but it's important to note. Azerbaijan is an oil-rich country, and in the protection or in the interest of maintaining or protecting that connection, that's why other countries aren't getting involved. That's just it. Okay, Azerbaijan's dramatic takeover in Nagorno-Karabakh had far-reaching geopolitical implications. Turkey views it as a strategic victory, but is wary of Armenia's resistance to its plans to economically integrate Nagorno-Karabakh with Azerbaijan and Turkey. Iran regards Turkey's win as its loss, as it fears Azerbaijan's empowerment and opposes Turkey's transport corridor projects, which could obstruct Iran's shared border with Armenia. These greedy fucks. They are. So Iran doesn't want Turkey to get the upper hand because that would make them stronger. They don't like each other. None of these Middle Eastern countries like each other, and they especially hate Jews and Christians. I'm just gonna say it because it is fact. It is. So Israel is under attack. Armenia is under attack. Half of their population had to relocate. Now, while Russia was weakened by its refusal to defend its treaty ally Armenia, it maintains substantial capacity to destabilize the project power in the south, in the South Caucasus, but they haven't said much about this. Let's see. Azerbaijan's takeover of Nagorno-Karabakh could also create new opportunities for China's Belt and Road Initiative. That China and the Taliban made a deal called the Belt and Road Initiative. They shook hands on it. China will get access to all of the resources in the what is that? Or Afghani mountains, and I'm not sure what the Taliban gets in return. Probably funds, most likely weapons. And Europe and the United States face an uneasy dilemma between providing humanitarian aid to Armenia and maintaining energy supplies from Azerbaijan. Exactly, that's it. It's like, do we help out the enemy of the people who are providing us natural gas and oil? And what's really fucked about China's, what is it? Belt and Road Initiative, their agreement with the Taliban. The Taliban doesn't care that Chinese labor camps use the labor of the Uyghurs. UY. Hold on, let me. I'm trying to spell it off the top of my head. I'm not that good. I know it's UYGU. Yeah, okay, sorry. UYGHUR. It is a Turkish Muslim group, and unfortunately, they are in Central and East Asia. They are in China. They are currently enslaved. During the Olympics that were held in China, the ski slopes you could oversee where the slaves were working. That's China. That's China. They don't give a shit. Why? I'll give you a little background. China. The CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, they are communists. They are hardcore communists. What is hardcore communists and what do they believe? They believe allegiance to the state above all else. They do not recognize religion because that is allegiance held to God above man. You are not allowed to hold a religion in China, much less Christianity that tells you that everyone is equal and created in the image of God. Much less any Judeo-Christian stemming religion like Islam that says the same thing, well, close to the same thing, is that, you know, God created you and you have value and you must uphold these five pillars of faith that call you to do something. There are Muslims who look to do the right thing. They want to have a strong, healthy family. They want to live their life in service to God. They want to uphold the values of do not do things that would put your soul or your spirit at risk when it is time to be judged, right? The Chinese don't fucking care. The Chinese Communist Party, the communists, do not care because that is creating competition between where they hold their allegiance and where they think, you know, your allegiance is going off to, and they don't see the possibility of marrying the two. There is none. In all honesty, there is none. You enslave people. How is that doing right by God who created everything, right? If we're going along those lines of logic. So China has enslaved Muslims and is making a deal with Muslims. Taliban doesn't care. And most Muslim nations in the Middle East, they don't care. Like Iran doesn't like Turkey. None of them like each other, but they will team up with each other to destroy Israel. They will team up with each other to destroy Armenia. So let's keep going. In the northern Armenian city of Vanadzor, Vanadzor, far from the southern border where refugees were crossing, an acting director named Armin Hovhannisyan, Armin Armine Hovhannisyan, Hovhannisyan, told the reporter that his mission is to help. Oh, acting director of Oran, that's a group. A humanitarian group. Okay. All right. So Oran, Oran, their mission is to help children in need in Armenia, where when Aliyev first attacked in 2020, so he attacked again, they knew they had to expand their mission. When they began witnessing refugees crossing, Oran began preparing emergency help of food, baskets, blankets, sleeping bags. They are alone. They are alone. It's. I don't know. Okay. On October 5th, the European Parliament approved a revolution saying the current situation implemented by Azerbaijan amounts to ethnic cleansing. That's great. I'm glad they said something 2 weeks ago, but what? That's it. I'm not seeing any action. One of the saddest parts about this situation is that hundreds of millions of United States dollars have gone to Azerbaijan for security and defense aid in the past years. In 2018 to 2019, for example, 100 million of our tax dollars were sent to Azerbaijan. Is it a coincidence that Aliyev ordered a major offensive against the Armenians in 2020? And now he has bought weapons from neighboring countries to continue his initiative. I'm not one to believe in coincidences. You can call me a conspiracy theorist, but I think the timing is all lining up because we and the rest of the Western world are so wrapped up in the whole Israeli-Palestinian-Hamas conflict that there's almost nothing. If seriously, you try to do a Google search, you're not going to find much. And now what's going to happen? All right, so how the end of this will shape geopolitical relations. The potential outcome of Armenia's rejection of Turkey's connected projects are unclear. Erdogan, he is the leader of Turkey. I don't remember the exact title, is it? You know what? I don't give a fuck. I don't. I'm so over these people. Okay, Erdogan recently claimed that Iran was open to allowing the development of the corridor to pass through its territory rather than Armenia. But Tehran has historically resisted the idea. Yeah, they can't agree on anything. Tehran is in Iran. So, leader of Turkey wants to allow passage for his goods, for trade, for resources, for travel, for everything. And Iran is like, yeah, okay, we didn't agree to shit. So if Iran proves uncooperative, then Azerbaijan's Aliyev could seek to forcefully construct a land bridge between Azerbaijan and Iran. Well, Azerbaijan and Turkey through Iran, whatever. Great. An Azerbaijani invasion of the southern Armenians' Syunik, Syunik province would be the most plausible pathway for achieving this goal. So they want to keep moving. They keep on expanding. It wasn't enough to take over Nagorno-Karabakh, but they want to continue to wipe out. All right, Armenian ambassador to the European Union, Tigran Balayan, Tigran, Balayan, warned on August 6th of this year, "We are now under imminent threat of invasion into Armenia." No one heard him. This was 2-ish months ago. While Azerbaijan may be well placed militarily to vanquish Armenia, an invasion of Syunik could trigger Western sanctions on Azerbaijan, hopefully, and derail Erdogan's Southern Caucasus reconciliation vision. So this is supported by Turkey. Turkey is backing the Azerbaijanis in this endeavor. I'm guessing they're getting along for now. We will see if that continues. We will see if Armenia survives. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, and Russia has not provided anything. Their security dates back to 1997, a treaty with Armenia that only applied to Armenia's intentionally recognized territory, not the shared area. Yeah, the implications of Azerbaijan's takeover of Nagorno-Karabakh for Russian is unclear. Despite these setbacks, Russia is not a spent force in the Southern Caucasus. As Russian-Armenian relations soured, its partnership with Azerbaijan has strengthened. Ain't that some shit? they might be flipping sides. I mean, Russia doesn't exactly like Muslim nations either, but Azerbaijan has let's see, 100 cubic meters of gas that it is that's under agreement since November of last year to be traded with Russia. So Russia might be quiet until Armenia's gone, and then they'll be like, well, we couldn't go against our own interest. It's super fucked. All right, okay. I spent 20 minutes on that. I will get more information as this develops. It's fucking wild. All right, I'm not gonna touch on Israel and Gaza. Let's just let that lie. I did the 2-hour podcast. Please listen to it to catch up on the back and forths. Things are still going on. More hostages have been released, thank God. But let's talk about something domestic. 4 days ago, this is from local news, KTVZ.com in Oregon. The Oregon Department of Education is defending a controversial state board decision. This decision was enacted due to COVID-19 when the pandemic hit in 2020. State standardized testing was paused. Their decision, excuse me, I keep having like the burps, I just woke up. Their decision to extend the pause has been extended for 6 years. 6 years, the state will not require high school graduation standardized testing for anything. Like, that's why? Why our kids are getting dumber, and now those leaving Oregon are going to be dumb as shit because they don't need to pass it to, oh my God, to graduate. Opponents argued that pausing the requirement devalues Oregon's high school diploma. It does. It does. Those looking to hire, high school students who want to, or college students, right, who graduated from Oregon in the future, well, no, from 2020 to 2030, I hire at your own risk. I'm not saying, all kids are going to be terrible, but you don't know. You don't know the SATs that we all took, the ACTs, all those stuff, out the fucking window. So here's the full statement provided to News Channel 21 by the State Department of Education. Oregon's graduation requirements are rigorous, rivaling those of most states in the country, with the exception of Connecticut. Our students must demonstrate proficiency in reading, writing, and math to earn a diploma. Let's be clear, we haven't eliminated assessments for Oregon students. What's changed is the insistence on a specific test score for graduation. Our students still need to meet essential skill requirements as indicated in their coursework, CTE pathway options, and more. Initially, this policy was intended to aid students in pursuing post-secondary opportunities, but research indicates that it hasn't improved first-year college readiness. Therefore, it's essential to continue the conversation and decision-making process as we look to policy leadership to prove and establish new requirements. So, they're not going to say it. And of course, they're not going to say it. With the abandonment of affirmative action, they need to find other ways to push their students along. Let's see. Christine Drazin released the following statement. Who is Christine Draz? Drazin? Who are you? Because she provided a quote in this article. American politician who served in the Oregon House of Representatives from 2019 to last year. Okay. She says, "It's clear that the Board of Education works for the governor, not the Oregonians. Having appointed 6 of the 9 members of the board, Governor Kotek, K-O-T-E-K, is ultimately responsible for the decision to ignore public input." So the public doesn't want that. They don't want their kids being dumbed down. Because I don't know about you, but I recall in my high school, grades were curved. If the majority of the class didn't do well, then they did some kind of point magic and bumped up everyone's grades that we all could just keep going. Do you remember that? Did that happen to you? It wasn't just in New York, I don't think, but we'll see. Her quote continues, "The fact that there was not one dissenting voice on this vote should be alarming." Yeah, anytime there's a unanimous decision to just abandon something, to pause something, it should give you pause. Like during the COVID-19 pandemic, every country was on board with getting the vaccine. Every country was in support of, oh no, there's no other treatment, just stay home, quarantine, wear a mask, and if you're terrible, then go to the hospital. It doesn't strike you as odd? It strikes me, but you know, maybe I'm just wired weird. All right, quote continues, "The board failed to discuss their responsibility for lagging academic achievement in our state." Oh, so she's saying academic achievement isn't that great. All right. "Instead, they cast blame on a tool used to measure a student's ability to read, write, and do math. It's disappointing that these unelected bureaucrats decided to ignore public comment and continue down a path that neglects their responsibility to help students meet high standards." She is also the founder of A New Direction, a nonprofit organization dedicated to connecting Oregonians with each other to advance policies and ideas that can make Oregon safer. Okay, so let's just check, huh? Where does Oregon high schools rank in the U.S.? Just for shits and giggles. All right, as per an article on the Oregonian Live, OregonLive.com, nearly 1 in 3 Oregon high schools rank in the bottom quarter nationally. 1 in 3. A third of the schools are shit. Great. Fucking great. Mind you, that article was from 2019. That was before the pandemic. I could hunt and look for more recent, but we're running low on time. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, be my guest. But I found another article, and this was taken when? Oregon rankings, USANews.com. According to education, it ranks 39th out of 50 states. And this is from 2021. 39th in education out of 50. It is on the lower half. Oh, what are they doing? What are they doing? Okay, and then I have a last story for you. Lockheed Martin. I'm sure you guys know the name. So let's just look this up. Lockheed Martin is a leading global security and aerospace company, ensuring those we serve always stay ahead and are ready. Da-da-da. And then let's find out where they're based. Let me just make sure, because I want to get this. Okay, so they're company headquartered in Bethesda, Maryland, but they have satellite, hold on. Based in Marietta, Georgia, Palmdale, California, with various sub-assemblies in Florida, Mississippi. So the one in California is offering 15,000 to 20,000 sign-on bonus for aerospace technicians, for aviation technicians. My husband was the one who brought this up to me, and I had to verify, which cracked me up. They are not finding qualified, skilled people to work in a global security and aerospace company in California. It's just crumbling. It's just crumbling. Our most prestigious industries, our coastal states, our education system. If you have kids, reinforce good education. I mean, so many people are homeschooling now. It's ridiculous. I know homeschool kids were shat on because they're the weird kids, but it's been proven that sending your kid off to school is not helping them learn anything. And now, Department of Education in a state is trying to suspend standardized testing in states that rank 39th. 39th out of 50. I found all this out between the hours of 3 and 5 a.m., so I'm just losing it. But I wouldn't be surprised if Lockheed Martin pulls its base from California, or their specific infrastructure there from California, and go other places. I mean, our Ivy League schools are crumbling. They're putting garbage in kids' heads. There needs to be a reckoning. There needs to be an overhaul of the system, and there will be. I am so sure there will be. Because international companies that have investments in companies here are not going to want to hire people from certain areas. I'm sure I'm not the only one looking at these articles when it comes to hiring someone, when it comes to looking at a resume and be like, so where did you go to school? Many employers are not hiring from Ivy anymore. You get your 80 to 100,000, maybe $120,000 school tuition debt, school debt, whatever. And you can't pay it off because no one wants to hire you despite the prestigious name. That is terrifying. I hope they bring back trade schools. I hope that skilled performers are uplifted again. Working with your hands, knowing the ins and outs of machinery, of sciences. I know the whole STEM movement and more women should be in STEM was pushed quite hard during the early 2000s, but it seems like now what? Now what? If you didn't take any standardized tests, but colleges are still requiring that, how are you supposed to get in? I mean, you could write in your admissions essay, I'm from a minority group and I've been impoverished and struck down or whatever, but are they going to believe you? It's because everyone's going to use that line. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I know I sound callous and crass, but what options do you leave when you take out the ability to showcase your hard work? What options are there if you take out the legitimate road for me to make a living, right? You get the illegitimate, you get sneaky, you get the people who will try to circumvent the system to get ahead. You're going to get people lying on their application essays, even though they came from a good family, but because they can't catch a break due to the fucking school system. But they really, really, really want to get into this college and further themselves, and they should be given the chance. But if they're caught, they're shit out of luck. If they write that they're a minority and they're, as pale as the driven snow, they're fucked. And it can go both ways. It can go both ways. It can go that a minority, first class, first generation American wants to get into a school and they have to lie and be like, yeah, my mom was a crack addict and I grew up in the streets and whatever. It's like you're forcing these kids to put on this shroud of just falsehoods. to get ahead. Is this what we should be teaching the youth, the next generation, the people who will be the creators of the future, that you need to make up this backstory for sympathy in order to get ahead in this country? I don't know. It's all a bunch of shit. Anyways, I wanted to catch you guys up on the Armenian-Azerbaijani conflict that was going in parallel to the Israeli-Gaza-Palestinian-Hamas war and all the shit that's happening domestically that no one wants to talk about. All right. That was all for this episode. This was Ain't That Some Shit with Emma. Hey, 35 minutes, not too shabby. And I'll catch you in the next one. Over and out.
Hey everyone, I'm Garrett from Comics Podcast. Be sure to check out our stop motion animation on our YouTube channel, DJ Hatter Comics and Movies, where the stories are inspired by comic book characters such as Batman, Spider-Man, Star Wars characters, and more. Be sure to like the channel and subscribe. Also, make sure to hit the notification bell to keep up with the newest episodes. See you there.